The world is changing fast, but you can learn it at a slower pace.
Special English.
You're listening to Special English. Here's the news. China has reiterated its commitment to facilitating mobile payment for foreigners, a move that indicates its resolve to enhance high-level openness. Zhang Qingsong, deputy governor of the People's Bank of China, said the central bank will guide payment platforms such as Alipay and TenPay to raise the single transaction limit for overseas travelers using mobile payments from $1,000 to $5,000 and the annual cumulative transaction cap will be raised from $10,000 to $50,000. Efforts will also be made to simplify identity verification and provide easier access for foreign visitors to manage various processes, such as card binding. Zhang said the central bank will also guide payment institutions to introduce a slew of convenient measures to make mobile payments products satisfactory and pleasing for foreign friends to use. After years of rapid growth, China has emerged as a front runner in mobile payment. The penetration rate for mobile payments in the country reached 86%, the highest in the world, by the end of last year. However, the widespread use of mobile payment also poses hurdles for first-time visitors to China. Foreign visitors relying on bank cards and cash may encounter difficulties during payment processes as street vendors or small-scale service providers often prefer mobile payment to cash or international credit cards. Xu Hong, dean of the College of Tourism and Service Management at Nankai University, noted the inconvenience experienced by some foreign visitors can mainly be attributed to the differences in payment practices between China and other countries. The Chinese government has already rolled out multiple measures to help foreigners enjoy a hassle-free payment environment in China, akin to that enjoyed by locals. Alipay and WeChat Pay, China's two major payment apps, now allow foreign users to link their international credit cards, including Visa and MasterCard, to their platforms, greatly streamlining the payment processes. Efforts are also afoot to strengthen regulations concerning mobile payments. China has issued rules on the supervision and administration of non-bank payment institutions to address concerns over privacy protection. Zhu Keli, a researcher at the China Institute of New Economy said that enhancing payment services can stimulate consumption among foreigners in China and consequently spur the development of related industries. Zhu added that meanwhile, the payment environment also plays an important role in enhancing the country's image in the global arena.
This is Special English.
The official posters for the Paris 2024 Olympic and Paralympic Games have been revealed. As with the torch and the mascots, the design of the official posters are linked together and united. Designed by French illustrator Hugo Gattoni, posters for the Olympics and Paralympics could be seen as independent works, but also complement each other to form a double poster, which reflects the idea that the two games are equal and connected. The president of the Paris 2024 Organizing Committee said that for the first time at the Summer Games, the iconic posters take the form of a diptych with the same artistic direction. Adding the two separate posters tell the story of the Olympic and Paralympic Games, which, when placed side by side, tell the whole story of Paris 2024. With the rich details, the posters show a fantasy version of Paris, which is an immense circular stadium city, echoing the slogan "Games Wide Open," and also the organizers' ambition of bringing sport into the city. They depict a city open to the world, in which iconic places, monuments, and symbols are rearranged and reinterpreted. All the Olympic and Paralympic disciplines can also be found on the posters. Designer Hugo Gattoni noted that when asked to design the iconic posters for Paris 2024, he immediately imagined a city stadium open to the world, a suspended time in which visitors can wander through microcosms where Parisian monuments and sporting disciplines joyfully coexist. A giant version of the posters went on display at the well-known art museum Musée d'Orsay in Paris from March 5th to the 10th for visitors from all over the world.
You're listening to Special English.
Sideline Story brings you all things sports related. The hottest topics, latest events, juiciest stories, all with a very personal take. Subscribe to Sideline Story Podcast for heated sports discussions covering events that are happening in China and around the world.
You've been listening to programs from CGTN Radio.
CGTN Radio.
We invite you to visit us online for more audio, pictures, and in-depth reports. at radio.cgtn.com. You can access a wide range of programs and find your favorite news, talk, features, entertainment shows, and podcasts. Hear the difference with CGTN Radio.
You're listening to Special English. Beijing will host the 2027 World Athletics Championships 12 years after the Chinese capital hosted the prestigious track and field event. Beijing hosted the 2015 edition of the Athletics Worlds. World Athletics President Sebastian Coe said in a statement that with a population of more than 1.4 billion, China is one of the biggest sports markets in the world. Coe noted bringing the meet back to China poses a massive opportunity to grow the sport and fan base in one of the biggest commercial markets in the world. The 2025 World Championships will be held in Tokyo. Last summer, the track's big event was staged in Budapest in Hungary. China will also host World Athletics Indoor Championships next year in Nanjing. This is Special English. China will step up efforts to provide daycare services for children under 3 in a bid to relieve mothers of the heavy burdens of child-rearing. According to Yang Jinrei, a senior official with the National Health Commission, China now has about 75,000 nurseries for children under 3, which can take in more than 3.6 million children. And about 6% of children under 3 in China have gone to nurseries. A majority of Chinese children under 3 are taken care of by their families, particularly mothers who are struggling to balance child rearing with their careers. Yang noted the Chinese government will try hard to perfect its population policies, establishing a child care service system that is accessible to all, and encourage fathers and mothers to share the responsibilities of child rearing, so as to create a favorable environment for couples to raise children. You're listening to Special English. The size of China's low-altitude economy as of the end of last year is estimated at more than 500 billion yuan, about 70 billion US dollars, with its scale expected to rise to 2 trillion yuan by 2030. That is according to the Civil Aviation Administration of China. Deputy Head Han Jun of the National Aviation Regulator said that as a strategic emerging industry, the low-altitude economy has a long industrial chain, covering sectors including aircraft research
development, and manufacturing, low-altitude flight infrastructure construction and operation, and flight services. According to Han, the administration is promoting the construction of a low-altitude flight service system and seeks to simplify application and approval procedures for flight plans. It will also provide support for enterprises to pilot drone logistics distribution projects in provinces including Jiangxi, Guangdong, Shanxi, and Sichuan. The economy relies on low-altitude airspace, with the general aviation sector playing a dominant role. It involves economic sectors such as low-altitude flight, air tourism, passenger transportation, as well as general aviation services, scientific research, and education. Data from the National Civil Aviation Administration shows that as of the end of last year, the number of general aviation firms in China stood at around 680, with over 3,100 general aviation aircraft registered and 450 general aviation airports established. This is Special English. Nanjing and Suzhou, two cities in East China's Jiangsu province, have joined the UNESCO Global Network of Learning Cities, earning recognition for their efforts to make lifelong learning a reality for all at the local level. The UNESCO project seeks to build an international network comprising cities that successfully promote lifelong learning across their communities. The new learning cities are added to the network on the recommendation of a jury of experts. Director General Audrey Azoulay of the UN body noted that cities are key to transforming the right to education into a tangible reality for individuals of all ages. Nanjing plans to extend formal and informal lifelong learning to all citizens by 2035. While the strategy of Suzhou focuses on equal learning opportunities, balancing urban and rural coverage, and fostering a robust lifelong learning infrastructure for all age groups. This is Special English. That's the end of this edition of Special English. To recap, I'm going to read two of the news items again at normal speed. Please listen carefully. China has reiterated its commitment to facilitating mobile payment for foreigners, a move that indicates its resolve to enhance high-level openness. Zhang Qingsong, deputy governor of the People's Bank of China, said that the central bank will guide payment platforms such as Alipay and TenPay to raise the single transaction limit for overseas travelers using mobile payments from $1,000 US to $5,000
and the annual cumulative transaction cap will be raised from $10,000 to $50,000. Efforts will also be made to simplify identity verification and provide easier access for foreign visitors to manage various processes, such as card binding. Zhang said that the central bank will also guide payment institutions to introduce a slew of convenient measures to make mobile payments product satisfactory and pleasing for foreign friends to use. After years of rapid growth, China has emerged as a front runner in mobile payment. The penetration rate for mobile payments in the country reached 86%, the highest in the world, by the end of last year. However, the widespread use of mobile payment also poses hurdles for first-time visitors to China. Foreign visitors relying on bank cards and cash may encounter difficulties during payment processes, as street vendors or small-scale service providers often prefer mobile payment to cash or international credit cards. Xu Hong, Dean of the College of Tourism and Service Management at Nankai University, noted the inconvenience experienced by some foreign visitors can mainly be attributed to the differences in payment practices between China and other countries. The Chinese government has already rolled out multiple measures to help foreigners enjoy a hassle-free payment environment in China, akin to that enjoyed by locals. Alipay and WeChat Pay, China's two major payment apps, now allow foreign users to link their international credit cards, including Visa and MasterCard, to their platforms, greatly streamlining the payment processes. Efforts are also afoot to strengthen regulations concerning mobile payments. China has issued rules on the supervision and administration of non-bank payment institutions to address concerns over privacy protection. Zhu Ke Li, a researcher at the China Institute of New Economy, said that enhancing payment services can stimulate consumption among foreigners in China and consequently spur the development of related industries. Zhu added that meanwhile, the payment environment also plays an important role in enhancing the country's image in the global arena. You're listening to Special English. The official posters for the Paris 2024 Olympic and Paralympic Games have been revealed. As with the torch and the mascots, the design of the official posters are linked together and united. Designed by French illustrator Hugo Gattoni, posters for the Olympics and Paralympics could be seen as independent works but also complement each other to form a double poster, which reflects the idea that the two games are equal and connected. The president of the Paris 2024 Organizing Committee said that for the first time at the Summer Games, the iconic posters take the form of a diptych with the same artistic direction. Adding the two separate posters tell the story of the Olympic and Paralympic Games, which, when placed side by side, tell the whole story of Paris 2024. With the rich details, the posters show a fantasy version of Paris, which is an immense circular stadium city, echoing the slogan, Games Wide Open, and also the organizers' ambition of bringing sport into the city. They depict a city open to the world, in which iconic places, monuments, and symbols are rearranged and reinterpreted. All the Olympic and Paralympic disciplines can also be found on the posters. Designer Ugo Gattoni noted, when asked to design the iconic posters for Paris 2024, he immediately imagined a city stadium open to the world, a suspended time in which visitors can wander through microcosms where Parisian monuments and sporting disciplines joyfully coexist. A giant version of the posters went on display at the well-known art museum Musée d'Orsay in Paris from March 5th to the 10th for visitors from all over the world. This is the end of today's program. I hope you'll join us every day to learn English at a slower pace.